spanning the Valley of the Sun and all across the 48th state. This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. Let's start on the border. Chad, I think it's the biggest story of the week. We've been talking about it throughout the hours that we've been on the radio this week, but a couple things, man, are happening, and we know that there's a surge, and, you know, we discussed it yesterday a little bit. No one knows really why there is a surge.
Is it a surge? Because everybody I'm talking to and everybody I'm seeing is saying, now this just feels like the new normal right now.
Right, and I'm hearing that too, but all right, but the question is, well, why are so many people, you know, coming right now? And I think, but part of it's pretty obvious. The welcome mat has been put out by Biden. Got it. I mean, that's...
You know, the weather's changed, but it took... We talked after Title VIII went in, and I said... I don't care about the first month. Look out 2, 3, 4 months, because as soon as they figure out the workaround, it'll be back on. And they figured it out, it seems.
Yeah, Title 42 went away, and then Title 8 went into place, and things were pretty good on the border. And we talked to border mayors, and we've discussed this, and it's all gone to heck right now. All right, so a couple numbers. Tucson sector had 13,000 apprehensions last week alone. Last week alone. Across the entire Southwest, 20,000 migrants came over last weekend.
My God.
I just don't know how.
Those are not monthly numbers.
No. That's a weekend. 20,000 in a weekend.
That is insane.
I'm watching some video earlier today in Texas, and there's a group of migrants from Venezuela, and they cannot get through the razor wire on the U.S. side. You know, the concertine wire that the state of Texas has put up. And I said, well, they'll be able to get through it. And then I took a really good look. I don't think there's any way through it. I think you have to almost catapult. Like, if you have a kid with you, you might be able to. This sounds awful. You might be able to toss the kid over it.
I'm surprised they don't have people coming over with cutters and just trying to cut that thing so easily.
Yeah. Because there's no way they're going to get through that.
No.
Like, a lot of times, there's some concertine wire here and there. No. It is roll after roll after roll for, like, feet. And you're not going to be able to get through that. If you try and get through that, you're going to tear your body up to the point where you're going to die in it. You won't be able to get
out. It's a possibility. I mean, you know, but it's meant to be a deterrent because, it obviously, nothing seems to be a deterrent.
I think the biggest news, though, because we can talk about the numbers. You might be right. They're always going to be high unless we get a president in there that wants to do something
and
about
a Congress
it.
That wants to work with them and say, hey, look, here's the deal. We can't do this and remain a country anymore.
Right. So all these people coming over. Now, I'll say this. I don't know if they're here illegally. I don't know if they're coming in for asylum. I don't know. There are just too many people coming in. And I'm not really sure what we're like, because some of them go through a port of entry. They've used the app and then. Most people now aren't even using the app.
No, most people don't even have it. Even the ones that are coming to the port of the entry, what they say, 30% of them don't have the app, but they're still pushing them through.
But I don't get it. If you're going through a port of entry, you're supposed to have I know it sounds silly. You're supposed to have an appointment, and you're supposed to have already gone on the app. But here's the thing. Here's the rule. If you don't have an appointment, and you don't have the app, and you show up at a port of entry, we're supposed to turn you around.
That's the whole reason they set that thing up.
We're not doing it.
No.
Okay. So I think... You know, you could look at the numbers. You could look at all this stuff. I think one of the scary things is that cartels are telling migrants, hey, go to Arizona. It's easier to cross over here.
Yeah.
Now, that's misinformation, but I don't know why they're doing it. I don't know what is the win for the cartel when they say go to Arizona. It's easier to sneak in. Maybe it's because of everything that Texas is doing right now. But I don't know. I almost think the cartels are doing it.
Well, if you're sneaking in, I would assume basically out where I live, which I know is the corridor, the Valley of the Dirt People, is the corridor for fentanyl, because it's all tribal land,
right?
And it extends over into Mexico, there is virtually, it's just too hard to patrol that much.
Yeah. And more fentanyl comes in through Arizona than any other place in the country.
It's not even close.
It's not even close. I think over 50% of fentanyl comes in through Arizona.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have all these people coming to the border. We know that. Is it a surge or is Chad to the new normal? I don't know. I don't know if it really cares to put a label on it. It's a mess. But now when they get here, right, and they're inside the country, what do we do with them? Because the Biden administration did something. They offered nearly 500,000 Venezuelan migrants that are already here the ability to live and work in this country legally. Now, let's be real clear. They're not giving them citizenship, right? They're not doing that. What they're saying is, okay, I guess they're waiting for their asylum case.
Which right? 3.5 to 10 years, right, depending on where you are, what okay. that thing you got.
So Biden says, you're already here. You've got a court date, even if it's 10 years from now, which we all know is silly and ridiculous. And we've got you here. What do we do with you? Well, Biden says we're going to allow you to work in the country and we're going to make it legal. So I struggle with this because I don't know what to do with them. How do we not let them work? Or do we at least want them to work and pay some taxes? Do we at least want them to contribute to the United States? And it's not an easy decision, at least for me to make, but I almost think that's the right decision. Allowing them to legally work here. They're already here. And so I don't know what else you do with them.
Well, I mean, you know, we talked about this earlier. It's like you can't round them up because you don't even know where they are at this point.
Even
in time.
If you round them up, they have a legal reason to
do
be
all of
here.
Them because all of them haven't followed the rules. Some of them have just wandered through. They didn't do the app. 30% of them even showing up at the ports go to the app.
But if they're asylum seekers and they're here and they have a court date, there's legal precedence for them to be
so
here.
So now if I am in any other country in the world, mm-hmm. I don't give a rat's about any of the laws that you've set up. I know I get to the country, I can stay there, I'm home free. So those idiots out there around the globe who are trying to come here legally, you're foolish, stop wasting your money, come across the border, go to a port of entry, stay here.
So becoming an American in a legal way is almost impossible.
It is. It's a luck forever. Of the draw. And we have a million people we allow in here a year legally through residencies and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. But none of that matters because all you have to do is make it through here. And you just rang the dinner bell, say we're going to give 500,000 people. And I know there's that quandary of you want them to contribute because you don't want them to not. And at the same time, everybody's going to know now. Come here. It's like the other day. We just paid $6 billion to Iran for hostages. That just put a price on everybody's head. Yeah. You rang the dinner bell twice in 1 week.
Yeah. If you're going to want to make a lot of money, capture an American in, I don't know, a Middle Eastern country.
Yeah.
Because you're going to make billions. But here, we're talking about, you know, 500,000 Venezuelan migrants already in the United States.
It's the signal you send, though.
I get it, but what's worse?
What if you're Mexican? What if you're Honduran? What if you're Guatemalan or you're African? You just gave 500,000. Not all the people coming here are from Venezuela, though a lot are right now. What about the Chinese people that are coming here and all? Where's ours?
But can we look at a possibility? Listen, do I think that they should be here? No, I don't. Were they probably just let in? Yes, they probably were. Do some of them have a story of why they should be an asylum seeker, and is it real? Probably the answer is yes. But we need a lot of people to work in this country.
But is it absolutely about you being persecuted because of your sexual orientation, your religion, or your politics? Or is it because your government is awful and corrupt and you can't make a living over there and they've made deals with criminals?
I don't know what the percentage is, but you're probably right. It's probably on the low side, but they're already here and we have job openings everywhere. So my question is this. Couldn't it help the economy if these folks from Venezuela who are already here in a legal status, not becoming citizens, but are allowed to work. Couldn't that help the United States?
Could it help the United States?
I think the answer is
could
yes.
it help the worker? No, because now I've got a easy opportunity to keep wages deflated because I've got a plethora of people to pull from. You asking me for an extra couple bucks to make a living. I don't need it. I can get rid of you now and bring in somebody else who's going to take your wage and be happy with it.
Mm-hmm. Or these are the folks that are going to fill jobs that aren't filled right now.
That's a possibility.
And we need that.
We do.
It's not an easy answer.
It's not. But you've got to think about the future. It's at some point, when do we have tough love and honesty with ourselves to say, we don't have a secure border and it is wide open? I'm reading stories in San Diego, Tucson, where they just pull over to a Dollar Tree and let a bunch of people out of a bus.
It's outrageous.
Out of a bus. Hey, yeah. Hey, you guys, we don't have any more shelter. Here's the Dollar Tree parking lot. Good luck to you.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of people in a truck that was pulled over. I don't remember which state it was. Dozens and dozens of people have been inside that bus, truck, for days.
It's insane. We have no idea what to do with. And really, the only reason we're paying any attention to this is because...
Oh, the pictures are crazy.
Because New York, though, started throwing a massive fit, and Chicago did. Otherwise, once it landed on their doorsteps, immigration became an issue.
Yeah, yeah.
New York's the worst!
Welcome to what we've been dealing with here in Arizona for decades. All right. Coming up next, California's killing us. They're killing us out here in Arizona. What are we talking about? Well, I'll tell you what the deal is coming up next.
It's the Gatos and Chad Show.
All right, pain at the pump, no doubt about it.
I mean, I filled up today.
I love it.
Painful.
Okay, what happened?
It was $85.
Do you put the regular in?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. It was ridiculous. I am done. I'm going to start siphoning again.
Yeah, I remember when you did that. Your breath stunk when you got
it. It was okay, though. Because I didn't pay a lot for gas.
Arizona gas prices are up at least 20 cents from last week. We saw around the valley $5.05, $5.08.
$5.39 at the place down the street here.
Oh, that place is such a... I can't stand that place down the street. All right, so why are gas prices so high? And I think the other question is, when will they start going down? Let's get some answers. Patrick DeHaan joins us. Gas buddy. Patrick, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
We're great. It's California's fault, right?
It's always somebody else. We always like to blame the Californians when we, see gas prices going up, and that's the case here. Of course, if we had some refineries in Arizona, or if Arizona switched its blend to what California uses, we might not be in this boat. But here we are, refinery issues galore, just like we talked about in the spring, although that was kind of pipeline related too. The problem is Arizona's population is booming, and there's just not enough refineries to be able to churn out enough gasoline. In addition, there's not enough pipeline capacity to bring that in. And everywhere you look, whether it's Southern California, whether it was Texas, Tucson, the eastern half of Arizona, everybody's getting clobbered with refinery downtime, whether it's planned or unplanned. And a lot of that happening because there's not as many refineries in the country today as they were, 5-10 years ago.
You know, Patrick, we talk about refineries. The fact is we've been saying for a long time, we could put more refineries up. Nobody wants to put them up. People don't want them in their backyards.
Yeah.
And people, there's some for lease out in the Gulf. Nobody wants them. They're trying to give them away because they realize the regulations and the environmental stuff is a headache.
Well, to your point, there was a refinery in Houston that was supposed to shut down this year. Now they have said that they're going to keep it for another year. It's actually undergoing maintenance this fall. But to your point, the environmental regulations have not gotten easier. They've gotten more difficult. And that's why, 20 years ago, none of us were here talking about refineries so much as we are today, because in the last 20 years, because of regulation, bureaucracy, red tape, it's gotten harder to operate, more costly. And so now there's fewer refineries. Things like COVID kind of accelerated the amount of shutdowns. Remember during COVID when gas prices plummeted? That was fun, with the exception of it shut down refineries permanently. And so now we only have about 120 refineries in this nation.
Wow.
And as a result of, it's been the survival of the fittest. The biggest refineries have been left behind. They're still operating. But when they go down now, it's much more problematic because the average size has gone up significantly.
So we've got refinery issues in California. It's making Arizona's gas prices skyrocket. Patrick DeHaan, gas buddy, joining us. So what would a refinery in Arizona look like? Where do you put it? How many jobs would that create?
How long would it take to put it up?
What are the pros and cons of that?
Yeah. You know, it'd probably be a multi-billion dollar construction project. Where would you put it? Probably as close to the New Mexico line as you could, just because West Texas isn't too far away, and that's where some of the crude oil comes in from, or a lot of the crude oil. Heck, one of the benchmarks, West Texas Intermediate crude oil. You know, so an oil company would want to have to build it. Arizona would have to allow it, which probably wouldn't happen. Look at all the pollution we have in the valley already. We have special blends of fuel. So, you know, even if they did build it, it'd be probably a 5 to 7 year project. So, you know, probably a $3 to $5 billion project, depending on how big it is. But you have a decent source of crude oil in West Texas. But, again, there's a lot of bureaucracy, and you know, the White House and politicians, the changing of the guard, so to speak, would probably really muddy the waters, because even if a project gets started, look at what happened to the Keystone, right? It got started, what, 10, 15 years ago, it was beset by delays, and then Trump approved it, and then Biden denied it. So there's a lot of political games that happen, too.
Well, it's all climate change. Climate change! Yeah, Patrick, it's climate! Whatever. I'm not buying it. I don't really care anymore. Okay, here's something. Look forward by the end of the year. Where is gas going to go? Because we got Saudi Arabia still clamping down, and OPEC. Yeah. Where do you think gas is going to be sitting, say, January 1st?
Boy, and that's another observation, right? The price of oil is at the highest level since last November. If I took a guess, the statewide average today is 462. In Phoenix, it's even higher at 496. Ugh. If everything goes well, guys, I'm going to just take a guess here. We'll be down to maybe 425. So we got a long way to go. A lot of the reason we're this high is because of those refinery outages. Once those get solved, I think we'll be in better shape. But keep an eye on OPEC. They could certainly offset some of the expected relief that I just told you to expect.
Patrick DeHaan, Gas Buddy, thanks for talking to us and giving us some insight. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so there you go. We got gas prices in Phoenix right around $5. Elsewhere in the valley, over $5. And I think it's interesting. How would you go about lowering Arizona's gas prices, building a refinery? And Patrick said do it close to New Mexico, but what did he say? It was like a $5 billion project over five years, maybe?
And remember, everything, nobody wants it in their backyard,
right?
And the environmental regulations will take that $3 to $5 billion and turn it into $7 or $8 billion, and a 5 year project will become a 10 year project if it ever gets done. And, you know, they want to push us into electric cars and baloney. It's just not happening, kids.
Are you totally against electric cars?
I'm not totally against electric cars. What I'm totally against is being told I have to have an electric car, getting pushed into something, which is what they would all like us to do, and then understanding that if everybody got an electric car tonight, our grids would fail in 5 minutes. We're not set up for it. I mean, what's her name? Gildebrand tried to drive across the northeastern part of the country. He's our energy secretary, and she couldn't do it. They had to be towed several times.
Yeah.
We're not prepared for prime time.
All right.
How about nuclear? I'd drive around a nuclear car. That'd be fun.
Like Back to the Future with
yeah, why not?
25 right? million
gigawatts or whatever. Whatever it is, that'd be fun.
Flux capacitor.
Give me a DeLorean. It's like cocaine in it.
Coming up next. Hey, who's going to win the presidency in 2024? The answer may lie with Taylor Swift. Next.
The Gatos and Chad Show.
Hang on a second.
Okay, I want to know about this, Becky. You said there are scary buildings.
What is this? The news you just did?
What? Oh, the police buildings.
Is this in Phoenix?
Yes. It's an ASU professor researching that sometimes a person's feeling about the police can come down to whether or not the police buildings are friendly and welcoming or hostile looking.
You just got arrested.
I think it means in general, like the community.
Wow.
If the police building looks... I don't know. I'm guessing here.
How can a building look mean?
It could.
How can a building look mean?
You've never seen Paranorman?
What if it were just a block building? It was run down, not painted well. It had nothing, no architectural redeeming character to it. It could look kind of unwelcoming.
But if the police are in there, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It could be white and it could be wonderful and it could be made of fluffy kittens.
But according to this ASU professor who does this kind of research, that's not true.
Okay.
That it can make a difference.
Let me give you an analogy. We'll see if this is any good.
This is going to be hilarious.
This usually isn't good, but we're going to give it a shot. All right. Phoenix Children's Hospital.
Yep.
That's, you never want to have to take your kid there because that means your kid's sick, been in an accident, all that kind of stuff. But we've been down there a million times.
Right.
And what we know is that when you walk in, it's not like any other hospital. It's very welcoming.
Right.
It puts people at ease. And
because they want the kids to feel like they're not at a hospital.
It's not, exactly. It's not white everywhere. It's
or
not
beige.
Sterile. It's there's some colors. The floor is interesting. I know this sounds a little bit, the ceiling is interesting and all that kind of stuff. So it makes a kid who's walking into Phoenix Children's, it doesn't feel like you're walking into this awful, awful hospital. Okay. So that's what this guy wants?
I'm not saying that he's wanting that.
Yeah.
It's just that he's saying that that could play a part in how communities feel about their police
department. Let me say this. Shouldn't the police department building be scary? It's not a place you want to go. If you're there, you might have done something wrong.
Don't we tell kids policemen are our friends?
But the building doesn't look mean. It's a building.
It might. Well, you just got through saying hospital can look scary or welcoming.
But these are for little kids that might have cancer, and they're going to have, like, needles stuck in them, and they want, you know, you go into this building, and listen, everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be, look at all the colors, all that kind of stuff. But it's like, okay, you're taken to the Phoenix police station or whatever it is. Maybe that should look
unwelcoming.
Are they going to
walk them? Hey, as they walk somebody through handcuffed. Hey, before you leave, can you tell us a little bit about how you feel about the building?
You're focusing on the people who have done something wrong and have been brought there for a reason. Mm. Again, I think it's more the community, because the police building, the police department is part of the community. So if you automatically look at the building and it looks like a place where only bad things happen, when it could be that maybe good things happen there too.
Well,
you can go for assistance. You can go for help. I need you. But if it's not a welcoming place, then they will never look at the place.
So should we put
way.
Like smiling emojis all around the building or
That'd
something
be a good
like
idea.
That?
Like balloons. Maybe a clown outside.
How about balloons? Can we put balloons up?
Balloons are good. And by the way, talking about the hospital and the kids, don't tell me you have never gone to the doctor's office and sat in that room and go, could you have found a worse color of green to paint the walls here?
When I was in Europe, that's the one thing I noticed, because their hospitals are so dreary and so uncomfortable. And because they don't have college radio, they have hospital radio. And you go into these places and you're like, oh my God, it's just, it's out of a horror movie. It was so just dark and depressing.
What a place to get better, right?
Yeah.
See, that's, so I think there
the
could be something
looked okay.
to this.
The inside sucked.
So it's the Phoenix police buildings, that's what they're talking about?
I think
about?
It's just police in general, police department buildings in general.
They pay a gentleman to study architect about buildings and their meanness.
This is through ASU.
ASU does.
ASU has a... I'd have to go back. It just says an ASU assistant professor. There's an entire longer piece on this, which, by the way, we'll have very soon. ASU School of Criminology and Criminal Justice.
All right.
And architect.
Here's my next question. Let's say you zhuzh up the buildings. What? Give me a pro. What good is that going to do?
Well, I just said they're hoping that the community as a whole will begin to look at the police in a different light.
Because they have a pretty building?
Because it's more welcoming looking.
Paint it pink or something like that. Then. I mean,
HOA wouldn't like that.
I like the pro side of it. So if we make it more welcoming, is crime going to go down?
Does That's that
make
the you, hope, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. Does it make you feel better if you're in jail if the outside of the building is wonderful
well,
and nice?
Well, it makes it better for the people coming to see you.
I feel like we're grilling Becky Lynn. It's not even Becky Lynn.
It's not even my story.
I'm going to defend this guy's job.
But I understand where he's coming from, or I would just say, you know what, you're going to have to ask Colton Krolak about this, because he did the story.
Okay, I'm going to ask Colton, too.
Producer Pablo.
And I have a friend, I know somebody who knows somebody, in the Glendale jail, they paint the inside of the jails pink and light, like pastel colors, and that same reason, to calm down the...
to make it a little happier, a little more
so
cheerful.
Not as hostile.
Who was the football coach that used to have the visiting dressing room was all in pink?
I don't know.
I've never heard that.
Yeah. Is it NFL?
No, I think it was college. But he wanted everything in pink, and he wanted it all as fluffy as can be.
Huh. I don't know. Well, we'll see if we can, we'll dig in a little bit more to this.
Okay.
An ASU professor says, make the police buildings pretty.
Make them more welcoming.
Make them more welcoming. Because why again? It's bad. What is it? What was the reason?
it helps community morale and their interactions and their way of looking.
It'll make you like the police better.
Make you like them better.
If the building is nice, you'll like the police better.
Okay, there
make a lot of sense to you, Chad?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Okay. Iowa, by the way, it's Iowa's football team. They've painted everything pink. The urinals, everything is pink, pink, pink.
Oh, I can't pee in a pink urinal.
I got to tell you, that's coming back in fashion. So they're on
pink urinals are coming back
and
in fashion?
And they have princesses everywhere, like on the walls.
Princesses are strong. You're talking to the wrong person here about pink and princesses. I'm going to stand up for them.
I have a five-year-old.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
That's interesting. We learned something today that, you know, the nicer the building, the lower the crime, apparently.
A bunch of horse crap.
Man, if that's true, Chicago, you need a full makeover.
All right. Hey, I can tell you who's going to win the next election for president in 2024. All you have to do is see who Taylor Swift is voting for. We'll explain next. Hey, coming up at 3 o'clock after the news, our buddy Joe Falacci is going to join us. So he's got the old station subs place in downtown Phoenix, right next to the Zone. And Joe sued the city of Phoenix. The verdict was yesterday that the city of Phoenix was absolutely negligent, and basically they built up the Zone. Purposely.
They caused it.
Yeah.
They caused it.
Yeah. So Falacci is going to join us again on the show. We should have asked him to come in studio, and he should have brought food. Because we went down for lunch, and it was a great
delicious
place.
Delicious.
He and his wife are just great people. So he sued the city of Phoenix and won. The cleanup of the Zone is supposed to happen sooner than later. And hopefully his business will start thriving
Find
again.
Find out if he believes it's going to happen.
Yeah. So he'll join us at 3. So who's going to win the next presidential race?
Oh, my God. I wonder.
Well, does it matter? Oh, put it this way. I'll ask them just a crazy question. Can Taylor Swift sway the election? Because yesterday, I think she put out a tweet, post, whatever you want to call it, right? And basically, she urged fans to register to vote. And 35...
It's National Registration Day the other day.
Right. 35,000 people registered to vote because of one post from Taylor Swift. I will tell you, this is a very powerful woman. It's a very smart woman.
But she was very, up until the last election,
yeah,
she stayed so far away from politics because she didn't want, she realizes, you know, much like Michael Jordan did, Republicans buy sneakers too.
Yeah, so Michael Jordan was always asked by Republicans and Democrats, can you come support me? You're so popular. Come and support me. Can you show up at a rally? And he always said, no, why would I want to do that? Because if I show up at a rally for Republicans, Democrats aren't going to buy my shoes, or they're not going to like me, or they're going to see me in a different light. So you're right. Taylor Swift has stayed out of it. But when do you plant your flag? I mean,
she did for the abortion thing. I think that was one of the big things. I think she planted her flag for that. And
LGBTQ, obviously, she's very supportive of them. But, like, is she going to pick, is she going to tell the Swifties, you should really vote for this person?
I don't know if she'll do that. And that'll be interesting if she does. I don't think she will, but I think she will definitely. I mean, she did talk about who she voted for. She may do that the day of. But, you know, that's a very interesting thing because, yeah, I mean, she's got that power.
She's got power.
She's got that kind of power.
Yeah, but
you know?
Also, then,
and if you're listening, by the way, to what a star says and tells you to vote for, you're an idiot. And by default, they should take away your voting rights.
That's kind of what I was going to say, because, like, if you're out there and you like Taylor Swift, but you're a Democrat and she tells you to vote for Trump, you're not doing that.
No.
So how much power does she really hold?
She's got power on one side,
let's
maybe.
Let's vice versa it. Okay, yeah. So let's just say, hey, I'm voting for Joe Biden, right? And you should too, and here's why. Do you really think that, like, do you really think people are going to listen to her like that? I know that, and again, we have to say this. She's got fans who are 7 years old, 5 years old, right? And 75 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, it is really... There are a lot of different age groups that like her.
A vast majority of those 18 to 25-year-olds
yeah.
will probably run out and do a lot of what she's saying, or at least pay attention to something.
Yeah.
Because I still think she's trying to be apolitical. She'll talk about an issue, and this is why I'm voting for this person. But I don't think she wants to just be this super lefty, because she likes the power she has. And the power she has sells records and makes her famous. And she doesn't, nobody really goes after Taylor Swift. You know, they kind of all, you know, even people on the right, everybody likes Taylor's, her songs are fine, whatever.
They make fun of her dating life.
Yeah, but that's because everybody sits around and goes, she just dates guys to break up with them and say he hurt me and write a song.
She's dating Travis Kelce from Kansas City now.
Well, she said he's, and I quote, very charming.
Is that so?
That's what she said.
He's very talented, and he is also very funny.
He's got a couple rings. Gonna
Saturday
go to
Night
Hall of Fame.
Live, right? Oh, yeah, he's one of the greatest of all time.
So,
put it this way. You know Taylor Swift leans left. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Well, okay. She's a young, single woman. What is it? What did we go over that other day, that poll? 38% of single women are... It's a 38% jump compared to where they are conservative wise. If you're a married woman, you're more conservative. If you're a married man, you're more conservative. If you're a single woman, it is just all to the left.
So all she has to do is do what she did the other day and say, listen, I really think you should register to vote. And the people that are most likely going to listen to her
are young women,
are younger women.
I would say out of that 35,000, probably 34,999 were Democrats.
Yeah. So she doesn't have to come out and say she's supporting anybody.
No.
If she's smart, the way that she handles this is how she did it yesterday. Do you have the exact tweet? I don't remember what the tweet was.
Yeah, but just, you know, go out and vote.
Oh, here it is. Are you registered to vote yet? I've been so lucky to see so many of you guys at my U.S. shows recently.
Oh, my God.
All right. This isn't Katie Hobbs.
I don't know.
I've heard you raise your voices. I didn't know how powerful you are. Make sure you're ready to use them in our elections next year. Register to vote. And she gave the .com, the vote.org, whatever. So that's all she has to do. If she wants to get people to vote Democrat,
yeah,
she doesn't even have to come out as a Democrat.
No,
she can
doesn't.
Just say,
because
hey.
She knows who her audience is and what they are. They lean left.
Yeah. Coming up next. So he sued the city of Phoenix. Won. So will they clean up the homeless encampment so his business can thrive? We'll talk to him, Joe Fallaci, next.